Good afternoon and welcome to Visions in Sound. My name is Rob Daniels. Well, this week is a slightly different show, as the feature here is specifically the music. Now, before you say, but Rob, that's what you do every week. Yeah, but in this case, the images in the film or television show are supported solely by images and sound. No dialogue is present. First up is a silent film from 1925. Battleship Potemkin is based on historical events. What started out as a protest strike when the crew is given rotten meat for dinner ended in a riot. The sailors raised the red flag to try to ignite the revolution in their home port of Odessa, which culminates with one of the most famous shots on film in film history, rather, on the Odessa steps. You'll know what I'm talking about if you've seen the film. Composer Edmund Meisel wrote the music for Battleship Potemkin.
Thank you. Thank you.
with a little bit of music from the 1925 film Battleship Potemkin, or it could be Shostakovich's Symphony No. 5, depending on who you talk to. Sounds very much like that. Anyway, this is some music from that film. This is Visions in Sound here on CKMS 100.3 FM Radio Waterloo. Welcome back to Visions in Sound as we're looking at the scores from silent films or television programs as well, and I'll get to that in just a little bit. But next up is a silent film classic. City Lights from 1931 stars Chaplin's tramp. Broke and homeless, he meets a poor blind girl selling flowers on the streets and falls in love with her. The blind girl mistakes him for a millionaire, and since he wants to help her and doesn't want to disappoint her, he keeps up the charade. He saves a millionaire from committing suicide, and the running gag throughout the film is that when the millionaire is drunk, he is the best of friends with the tramp, right until he sobers up and can't remember him. Meanwhile, the tramp works small jobs like street sweeping and enters a boxing contest, all to raise money for an operation to restore the blind girl's sight. Now, the original music was written by Chaplin himself and is restored here by composer and conductor Carl Davis. We'll be right back.
Thank you. receive messages from their spaceships. Contact with us by radio. Contact with us by radio. Well, since they first tried contact with us by radio, we've developed a language computer.
CKMS 100.3 FM.
5 years I've waited for this experience.
Thank you.
Music from the 1931 film City Lights. That's music by Charlie Chaplin. Well, welcome back to Visions in Sound as we look at the scores from silent films and other silent type things like television shows and that. The classic silent era of films essentially ended in 1927 with the jazz singer. However, classic silent films were made up at least until Charlie Chaplin's 1936 film Modern Times. Many films would pay homage to the classic silent era, including 1953's Mr. Hulot's Holiday and Mel Brooks' 1976 film Silent Movie. However, in 1961, silence of a sort hit the small screen. A 1961 episode of The Twilight Zone made its debut. The Invaders, not to be confused with the television series of the same name, tells the story of an old woman apparently living alone in a very rustic cabin. After hearing strange noises from the sleeping loft, she is accosted by small intruders that come from a miniature flying saucer that has landed on her house, equipped with two tiny people in spacesuits. In proportion to the old woman, the intruders appear to be only a few inches high. She battles them for many, many minutes, finally killing one and following the other back to his ship. There she hears one of the space-suited intruders send off a desperate warning to other potential invaders that the people from this planet are giants and very difficult to defeat, after which she destroys the ship with an axe. It, of course, ends with the classic Twilight Zone ending that I will not reveal here. The music for this episode, The Invaders, is by the master himself, Jerry Goldsmith.
Thank you. Thank you.
and with some music from the 1961 episode of The Twilight Zone called The Invaders. That's music by Jerry Goldsmith. Well, if you're interested in any of the film, television, or video game music that I do play here on Visions and Sound, you can contact me here at the station at 884-CKMS. That's 884-2567. You can also try me online at visionsinsound2000@hotmail.com. Well, to this day, silent film scores, are being done or redone or reimagined. Coming up tonight at the Registry Theater in Kitchener is the film, or Guy Madden's Cowards Bend the Knee. Sounds like a weird title, but all will be explained momentarily. I had the great chance to speak to Ted Harms, one of the musicians and somewhat of the coordinator of this live score event at the Registry. And Ted will be playing he'll be playing double bass. And here's an interview that I did with Ted Harms a few days ago. All right. Well, let's start with what is your musical background?
My musical background is really quite spotty. In high school, which was many years ago, I fell in love with rock and roll and got my first bass after seeing The Who play CNE Stadium, which would have been 1984 or so. Mm-hmm. Played bass, started playing guitar, abandoned high school, got to university, dropped it a little bit, picked it up, dropped it more off than on. And then kind of about 8-9 years ago, started taking it up again, relatively seriously. Found a very good jazz teacher in town, a guy named George Arvola, who I'll happily plug. For guitar and bass, electric and jazz background. And then about 5 years ago, as a birthday gift from my wife, I received a double bass. And that then really actually opened up just a huge door for me, because it was through that about 6 months after that, I started going out to a weekly improvisational workshop at the University of Guelph. Run by a wonderful drummer named Jesse Stewart. Did that for about a year and a half. Started taking lessons, classical lessons, from the KW Symphony's George Greer. Again, great guy. Started taking lessons, dropped the lessons, tried to keep the improv end of things up, but was increasingly frustrated by this kind of colonial attitude that I had to go into Toronto anytime I wanted to play or listen. Mm-hmm. Then a contact that I made a year or two previous to that, Catherine Ladano, told me she was back in town, or going to be in town, and if we wanted to start up an improviser's weekly get-together, rehearsal kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And that was the genesis of QUIC, the Kitchener Waterloo Improvisers Collective, which is now starting our second year. So that's been going on. And then also for a while, I was part of the University of Waterloo Orchestra, kind of keeping up the classical end of things.
Okay.
But still doing the kind of freaky improv stuff, which you know, would probably send most of the classical people screaming, because I'm beating on my bass and shoving stuff between the strings and all that. But although other people can balance both those areas, and I just see it all as good music.
So what can you tell me about the film Cowards Bend the Knee?
Cowards Bend the Knee. Geez, what I've realized is that this is not an easy movie to sum up. You can't just say in one sentence what this is, unlike, you know, most other movies or anything that Tom Cruise has done. This is a wonderful movie. It's drawn a lot from Guy Madden's childhood. He grew up in Winnipeg. His father was the manager of the Winnipeg Maroons, which was known as the Nats, which was the N-A-T-S, not G-N-A-T-S. Nats, which was the national hockey team. This is a team of Canada that played in international tournaments, mm-hmm. played in the Olympics.
Right.
His dad was a manager of the team for a while and was involved with it. So one center of Guy's life was around the hockey arena, mm-hmm. and he had early contacts with a lot of you know, pre-expansion NHLers.
Right.
And would often get little jobs in the dressing room. I think he reports that he once squirted orange juice into Gump Worsley's mouth, which is a great thing to put on your resume.
No kidding.
The other aspect of Guy's life was around his mother, who was a hairdresser, co-owned a hairdressing business, and the salon was the front of their house.
Okay.
So he grew up in the house, hairdressing going all around him, this wonderful Icelandic background kept cropping up. His parents or parents' parents were settlers from Iceland. And that is the genesis of the movie. He then changes things around. he doesn't tell it straight up. He's not interested in being a documentary reporter, a documentary, right. You know, movie maker, anything like that. Mm-hmm. He pushes the movie back in time about 30 years, this kind of vague 1920s, 30s time, almost the same time that you'd think one of his other movies, The Saddest Music in the World.
Right.
Around that same weird, you know, kind of dirty 30s, roaring 20s kind of area. Mm-hmm. And the movie just goes off from there. It talks about a hockey player named Guy Madden, the things he does for love, really. He has one girlfriend. She gets into quote-unquote trouble, which of course back then meant baby trouble. He meets another woman there, and there's complications with her mother and being asked to take care of people that the new girlfriend doesn't like. And there's a nice weird sub-action going on about a alleged or supposed hand amputation surgery, okay. where suddenly the Guy Madden character thinks he has somebody else's hands grafted onto him. Yeah, I know. It's I mean,
very bizarre.
five minutes later, I haven't even scratched the surface of the movie. There's ghosts. There's all kinds of weirdness. But still, wonderful movie. Great to see. Funny. The first time you see it, you're wondering just what's going on. But really, it really is screamingly funny, and I hope people realize that usually about the third time they see it. Unfortunately, a little bit too late. But
so why was this film chosen?
I've been having this pebble rolling around in my head for a while about doing a silent film soundtrack. The first movie that I was attempting to do was a couple years ago, a classic silent movie, Joan of Arc, by Carl Dreyer.
Right.
And then when I was poking around on that and trying to find movies, I realized that there were still silent movies being made. Mm-hmm. Obviously more kind of art house, quasi-fringe movies. The revival seemed to have kind of come around in the 60s, early 60s and so, with basically this kind of hippie, awakening of hey, let's do something really trippy, and silent movies for some people were part of that, Stan Brakhage and people like that. The one problem that I discovered, though, was when I was trying to do a modern silent movie, was that I know I had to get copyright clearance, or at least permission. Some of the directors that I would contact or email, some would say no. Some would say sure, but to rent the movie for a night will be $3,000. One guy, interestingly, said, you can do it, but you can't use the title of the movie. You can't say this is the movie, the title, let's call it, you know, Bambi. You can't say we're doing soundtrack to Bambi, we're doing a soundtrack to a film by director John Smith. His feeling was, and this is totally valid, he had a soundtrack composed for the movie, and he felt very much that the soundtrack was part of the movie.
Okay.
And to separate the two really meant that it wasn't what he was wanting. Fair enough. And so that kind of set me back, was kind of getting shut down by a lot of these directors. I managed to get Guy Madden's email, and he said, sounds great, run with it.
Okay.
And I said, what about you know, rental or permission or any kind of, do you want me to buy you dinner or something like that? And he said no. He said just run with it. It sounds like a great idea. And I've been trying not to bug him every other day, but giving him updates, and he's been supportive, 100% behind it, which means I couldn't have done it without him.
Okay, all right. So who wrote the score, or is it more improvisational?
Well, it's a little bit of both. The movie, just to back it up a little bit, was originally an installation. I believe there was a gallery in Denmark originally, and then mm-hmm. it moved to Harborfront. And the whole notion of it was that it was to be viewed through peepholes. There were screens or canvas walls. You'd kind of bend down, look through the peephole, and you would see a loop of the movie. The movie is divided into 10 chapters. Mm-hmm. Each chapter is a little over 6 minutes long, which was the longest loop that the machines could handle. And so you would go up to it in the gallery, and you would, I guess, you could even view the chapters out of order. I've never tried that, but you know, more or less, you can move through, and it was like you're spying. which is, I guess, kind of what it is, because it is a personal movie. It's Guy's childhood and all that. So the chapters was very helpful, because for me, the thought was, you know, how can I get everybody to play for an hour and a half or an hour and keep it interesting? Mm-hmm. Within my concern, especially for the improv music, is how do we stop things from, quote unquote, browning out? It just kind of audio mush. And I thought, well, let's really stick to the chapters. We've got 6 minutes, which is, I think, hopefully within most people's audio attention span. Mm-hmm. And so what I have done is we have a sheet for each chapter. Okay. This is what's being played. And also I'm indicating who's playing it. It isn't all of us playing all the time. Sometimes we're a five-piece group. Sometimes we're a trio. Sometimes we're a duo. Sometimes it's all five of us playing.
Right.
I'm also saying which instruments are taking which position. Are they more foreground, mid-ground, or background? What's the general tempo for the piece? And the music is echoing the Icelandic and family heritage of Guy's background. Is the music is Icelandic folk songs.
Okay.
Managed to find a handful in the library in a book. Some, I guess, musicologists went to Iceland in the 1920s or 30s and transcribed what are called a Heldenlieder, which I think, okay, in my not very good German, are the heroic songs.
Okay.
Songs of heroes. If I knew Icelandic, I could read the lyrics, but I can't. And so that's what we're improvising off of. I'm pretty much letting people have the run of it. The people in my group, the VOC, are all improvisers. These are people that I've kind of come into the quick orbit, and people that I trust, and I can say to them, you know, here's a piece, here's this little 12-bar tune, make it interesting for 6 minutes, and they can, which makes my job so much easier that I don't have to write everything out and score to the, you know, to the 30-second note pauses and rests and trills and all that. Mm-hmm. We've had a few rehearsals, but things are deliberately being kept fresh. Okay. So it isn't scored to the nth degree. Every time you hear it, it'll be different.
Okay.
So what is the appeal of doing a live score as opposed to a recorded one?
Well, I think this kind of gets back to what the movie, to the era in which it was filmed in, or it was the area in which it's portraying,
right,
is the 1920s, 1930s, which was when sound, you know, silent movies were still there. Talkies started coming out in 1929, and then that industry pretty much vanished. I think this is how the movie, if it had been made in that time, it would have been shown. And I think it brings back a little bit, it brings the movie back to, I don't want to say an honesty to it, but I mean some movie soundtracks can get pretty overblown. Mm-hmm. I kind of like the limits of just saying we have to make it interesting for ourselves. It's not that I can, you know, get somebody to sit down with, you know, a keyboard sampler and yeah, you know what, I could have a full orchestra suddenly at my fingertips.
Right.
It's involving other people, even though I'm kind of the organizer of this. I'm by far not the leader. This is a very democratic outfit, and when people say, well, how about this, how about that, it's like, yeah, you know, why not? That sounds good, and let's run with it and see where that goes.
So what is the instrument lineup?
I play double bass. Catherine Ladano plays bass clarinet. Aidan Chatwin Davies plays clarinet. Richard Reinhardt plays trumpet and flugelhorn. And Monique McGrath has threatened to bring her harmonium out to this.
Threatened.
She's the two times before we played, she's just brought her regular keyboard. But she has said, well, how about harmonium? And again, I said, well, why not?
Okay, so what dictated instrument choice?
It was kind of almost availability. I mean, the people that were around that had been coming out to quick, there had been some variation. The first version of this edition, there were two double bassists. We've also, when we played in Toronto at the end of July, we had a classical guitarist. I mean, because it hasn't been strictly scored, it's not me panicking saying I need to find a piccolo player. Mm-hmm. It's open. I could with the basic score and maybe about half an hour, I could probably arrange this for an 8-piece ensemble, which would be great. I mean, right. I mean, not that I would want to do that, but I could, because it's that kind of, it's flexible enough. We don't have to rearrange and suddenly go back to the minutiae of the score and saying, okay, well, who's gonna carry this tune now, and who's gonna carry this tune here. It's open, and as long as I'm kind of providing a rough order for the music, who's playing when, general place, but general tempo, I'm letting people do what they will.
Okay. So this is the first silent film that you've done?
Yeah, we've done. We played in Toronto with Cowards end of July. We played out in Guelph at the Sharp Cuts Indie Film and Music Festival in mid-September. And now we're back here, and we're doing Cowards. And I have a tentative offer for us to do Cowards again in February as part of the Brampton Indie Arts Festival.
So do you have a favorite silent film?
Well, I still really do like Joan of Arc. That's just a really, really good movie. As far as the modern films, Dicasia, directed by Robert Gordon, Frank Gordon, something like that, yeah. What he's done is that he's taken corrupted film footage and kind of looped it and strung it together. Neat movie. Other nice silent films. Jeez, Sunrise is good. You know, some of the old war horses like Nosferatu and Metropolis and
right.
And other than that are classics. But yeah, but Joan of Arc, I think just realizing that it's really done quite real. I mean, from what I gather, Dreher was not above mentally or physically abusing his actors to get the response he was looking for. There's a scene where you see two monks drawing blood from Joan's arm. Mm-hmm. It isn't the real Joan playing; it's a stand-in, but that is real blood
okay.
that you see coming out of her arm, and you know, and that adds something to the movie. That you know, just seeing that and realizing when you read a little bit about how it was shot and all that, it's I think it puts it up a little bit above the rest. So okay. personal preference, but
all right. Well, what does the future hold for you?
Oh, geez, I haven't even thought about that. the gig's Friday, and then the world ends for me pretty much. I don't know. I'm hoping I can get another movie together. I think this is something that I could probably hopefully do once or twice a year. Always hoping to maybe find different places to play. It'd be nice to kind of get maybe find places, other places in London or Hamilton or other places in Toronto to play it. The response has been wonderful from people that I've told, and interest is pretty high. So I don't know, the next movie. I'll have to admit, I've had to do a lot of explaining about Guy Madden. which is a good thing. I mean, I think anybody that spreads the word about Guy is I mean, hopefully all right. And but maybe next movie might be more of a classic. There's a bearing rolling around in my head as far as saying, well, maybe find some modern short films. Madden has done about a dozen or so short films.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe find films from other modern films, short films like something by Stan Brakhage, maybe something by the Quay brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever, have that as the intro, and then do something like Cabin of Dr. Caligari or something like that.
Yeah.
as the feature.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember early on in my movie career that there was a time when they would show cartoons before the movies and short films, and it was before there was commercials and
right.
and all that, and that was always neat, and maybe you know, bringing that back is just kind of more on the nostalgia trip of actually having a live people playing live music.
Cool. All right, well, thanks, Ted, really appreciate this today.
Yeah.
And I hope that Cowards is a success.
I hope so too, Rob, I really do.
And you can catch Cowards Bend the Knee tonight at the Registry Theatre. I believe it starts at 8 o'clock, and tickets are available on site. So, if you're interested in any of the film, television, or video game music that I do play here on Visions and Sound, you can contact me here at the station at 884-CKMS. That's 884-2567. You can also try me online at visionsinsound2000@hotmail.com. Well, our final silent score comes from the TV miniseries Nightmares and Dreamscapes from the stories of Stephen King. The episode in question is the premiere episode called Battleground. Jason Renshaw, played by William Hurt, is a professional hitman and successfully murders the CEO of a prestigious toy company, only to face the biggest fight of his life when a package from the toy company is delivered to his house with surprisingly deadly contents. Composer Jeff Beal wrote the music for this episode and the entire series, in fact. Jeff also recently won an Emmy Award for Outstanding Music Composition for a Series for this particular episode. Jeff's score was also number 3 on Visions and Sounds Best of 2006. So sit back and enjoy the music from Nightmares and Dreamscapes, Episode 1, Battleground. And well, that's all for me this week. Hope you've enjoyed this look at the music of silent films and some TV. Well, I'll end off this week with this week's program with some more music from the Nightmares and Dreamscapes episode, Battleground. I'll be back next week with more Visions in Sound.